Well, you sure hope 4 days, 4 days enough. Jeez. Matt Burke, the final piece of the puzzle to talk yesterday with the, let me see, Adam Gase, Rashad Jones, Matt Burke in that order.
A little trifecta.
Saying, yeah, I apparently we had a little disconnect. We've had 4 days to work it out. It's a long time.
It is a long time. How long do you need? That's 96 hours.
Man, it does make it. Like, yeah. Are we okay now? Or are we good? Here's what we're going to do. Everybody listen up. Here's what we're going to do this week against Aaron Rodgers. Here's what we're thinking. Is everybody okay with it? No. How's my communication? I got to do better. Okay, I got to work. It's just...
It's only one question now. Are we all on the same page? Like, is everyone on the same page now?
We're going to find out.
Okay, that's the only question.
And by the way, you better be on the same page because Aaron Rodgers, if you're not on the same page, we'll have a lot of pages ripped out when he gets done with you. Just a weird story coming off a great defensive performance.
A win!
You win the game. Hey, listen, you had problems on offense, lots of them. 7 first downs, but... So you got your head coach who calls plays and spends a majority of his time with his offense. He's got to go over and take care of whatever's going on with the defense.
The drama.
And one of your veteran players and your defensive coordinator. And so we'll see. We'll see how it looks, man, as they jump on the plane tomorrow. Head to Green Bay to the 15-touchdown, 1-interception Aaron Rodgers after all that stuff.
That's scary.
Just weird. Just a weird story. Anyway, we got a lot of stuff coming up here. Larry Bluestein, our South Florida High School football insider, will join us.
Hasn't slept in 3 days, I'm guessing.
I'm guessing he already was out late last night because we had some games last night. So we'll jump into that and see if we got any upsets coming here in week one of the high school football playoffs. And then Andre Branch will jump right to the NFL defensive end for the Dolphins. We'll talk to him and see if any of this stuff as a veteran guy. And by the way, Andre's one of the leaders on the team. Find out his thoughts on everything and getting past it, moving on, and jumping up. You want to hear a weird stat? I got a weird stat for you. I'm not a big stat guy.
I know. That's why I'm waiting for this one.
The Dolphins have 15 sacks on the season and 15 interceptions.
Whoa. That is a weird stat.
Usually you have a lot more sacks
and interceptions.
Than
interceptions. Yeah.
Wow. So Dolphins, I think, lead the league in interceptions.
They
right
have
now.
To, right? 15's a lot. Game,
that's a lot of picks, man.
Yeah.
That's on pace for a monster. Of course, you get 4 last week, which helped after a little drought they were in before that. But, yeah, that's it's pretty big stuff.
I don't care how you get them, as long as you get them.
Well, listen, now you're going against a guy that just doesn't throw them.
No, he's thrown one. He's thrown one this season. And not last week. One this season.
Sometimes his guys are so well covered. And they still complete passes. Those guys must just practice about having guys all over them and like, all right, I'll throw it to the outside so no matter what, even if they've got good coverage against you, you don't have to worry.
Well, Joey throws it to where his guy could catch or it's incomplete. Like it's either going out of bounds or my guy could catch it. That's it. Nope. He's the
throws
king
it,
of that.
Throws it a little bit behind his guys and just finds a way to get that done. By the way, if you get a chance, I wanted to get to this here before we get going. The Gridiron Grill Off, which John Offerdahl has put a lot of time into and has grown this thing through the years, is this starts tonight, Saturday and Sunday, with music, and it's up in Pompano Beach. If you get a chance and you want to do something, a lot of that money goes. John's involved in a bunch of charity stuff and puts all that money back, but there's a lot of stuff. There's some of the top restaurants will be there. He's got great wine up there. And it got really, really good entertainment as well.
That's
so,
right.
A lot of stuff for everybody if you don't have plans.
Yeah. It's a very
one
fun
of,
time.
Whether you can go Friday, Saturday, and Sunday or just one of the days, man, I know they really appreciate it. A lot of former Dolphin guys going to help out with John. John's a popular dude, and there'll be a lot of guys up there as well. So,
and outside of the music and some of the wine and the good food you'll taste, because they're booths with all that food there where you taste all the food, honestly, it's really fun to watch the, like, professional cornhole guys. like to watch all that competition going on. These guys take it so seriously. This is like the backyard tailgate, you know, kind of let's just get the cornhole out there and play. These guys are really good.
You know that.
It's fun to watch.
You know what's funny? That's on TV now.
I know it is. That's right.
And you watch those guys for anybody that's done it drinking in the backyard or you go to a little, whether, wherever you are.
Yeah.
My family always, my in-laws always.
Little holiday
always
action.
Have it out there while everybody's drinking, you know, drinking beers and the barbecue's going and everybody plays and you have teams and you go out and do the whole thing. But they do that. Those guys are different level.
No, these are professionals.
I mean, they not only can block and put it wherever they want, knock you off. I mean, they drop everyone right in the damn hole.
They're pretty
man.
Good.
Yeah,
they're a little bit better than me.
And
different.
You. Yeah, a little different level if they're getting pros to come down and.
But there's a lot of cool things to do at the Gridiron Grill always, and he's grown it. It's so big now compared to it's like when we always talk about some of these charity functions and all this stuff. He has just grown it. It's huge. A 3-day thing now. Music all over the place. It's fun. And the food and the wine's really good. I took my dad there, I think it was 2 years ago. We just literally walked around to every booth, tried all the different foods they had. Different glass of wine almost at every place. A little sip here and there. It's good stuff.
Yeah.
It's fun. Fun day.
Hey, so anyway, if you get a chance, go on out. It's for a really good cause. 3 days. And so you can make a big difference up there. Miami Hurricanes are going to Georgia Tech for a game tomorrow night. The numbers they are putting up, I just happened to be looking at the game last night. Georgia Tech is averaging 377 yards a game on the ground, and they've scored, get ready for this.
I can't wait to hear this.
41 touchdowns on the ground. 41
in the last 3 years.
41 rushing touchdowns, and they're averaging. And by the way, they're way out in front in college football. 377 yards per game. Oof. You know that's screaming to me, man. Time of possession, just take it, and you hit the quarterback, and he pitches it. Nobody's out wide, or he fakes the pitch, and he keeps it, and he cuts back, and then occasionally he does the double fake and drops back and hits a guy one on one. Because everybody's coming up to make the tackle
That's
and help
right.
out, and some guy catches a 70-yard touchdown.
Paul Johnson's been doing this offense forever, it seems like.
Not a lot of guys are doing it. There's
I know.
Only a handful of schools doing it.
What is it, like Army, you know, or Navy? Yeah, like it's those schools, and then Georgia Tech.
Well, it's a great neutralizer for
I know.
Them because
right.
they don't have the talent, but they have guys that whatever you tell them to do, the techniques and stuff. And
but this is the same school that had, what, Calvin Johnson and Demaryius Thomas as wide receivers.
They've had
That's crazy.
They've had some.
It's unwatchable, by the way. It's very, very difficult to watch that offense.
It's boring, that's why.
I mean, it's unbelievably boring. It's pathetic that they're even
but
allowed
it works.
To run that. Like, it's really brutal. And then
it
all
works.
The chop blocking and stuff, the taking what? Guys out at the knees
hey,
the whole game. Like,
you should have seen when I was a kid. Like, we ran a pro set. I had a high school coach that was years ahead of his time and had all this unbelievable stuff. I don't know where the hell he came from. A guy named Mike Roof. But everybody else we played ran that same offense. There
works.
Were a lot of people running that offense, man. Wishbone, triple option, whatever you want to call it, you know, where, all right, guys, we got to watch the dive first, the fullback dive, and then from there – the quarterback, make sure if you got the quarterback, stick with them.
Just stay in your lane, right? That's what it is.
And then don't try to everybody tackle, knock the crap out of the quarterback, because then he pitches it to the guy outside and there's no containment. He runs down the side. So that's what you have. And, oh, by the way, usually in the triple option, everybody cut blocks. So you can be a really good athlete, but if you get chopped down, you're not very good.
No, you get your knees taken out.
You can't
from underneath
run,
you, yeah.
And you got guys that practice cutting you down low, as Hollywood says. He obviously hates it.
Not fun to watch.
No, it's miserable to watch. By the way, USF, who was just terrible, beat them earlier in the season, so Miami should be able to beat these guys.
Yeah, but why don't you ask Virginia Tech what just happened? They beat Virginia Tech by 3 touchdowns.
Rip.
So,
Virginia Tech also lost to a Division II team earlier
Old
this
Dominion,
season.
That's right.
I will just say this, that if the Canes get sloppy on defense and get super aggressive and they don't stick. And by the way, I only got a few days to put this in because everybody else after this and before this goes back to more of a pro set spread option, spread offense. And then you get ready for these guys. My God, those numbers are That's a lot, man. Run for damn near 400 yards a game. That's
Manny Diaz.
That's a lot of drives of just chewing up time. You're sitting, are we ever going to get back on the field? And then they'll break some big ones on you too. So that's what the Miami Hurricanes are dealing with at Georgia Tech, who has lost some games. By the way, Nikosi Perry, we left out, has been named the starter. And
surprised by that?
No.
Okay, I'm not surprised by anything now. At this
Nikosi
point
Perry better get rolling though. They need to see improvement, and they're talking about him getting rid of the ball, you know, and all those things that you do. But he's got to start showing improvement. And then there's Jaren Williams sitting behind him going, hey, man.
Licking his chops.
See what happens. Yep. Nikosi, if you don't look real good these last couple of games, I got a shot, unless we get a transfer in here.
Yeah, unless Kelly gets her.
Is it bad that he's going to be playing that nervous? Like, he has to know if he's – first of all, if he's not good on the first drive, he might get pulled. I mean, to see Roser come out.
Will there be that quick of a trigger there?
I don't think. They did it last game.
No, yeah. I don't think he'll pull him again that quickly. Listen, Mark Richt's under some heat, too. Listen, everybody's heard. This goes back to the whole Jimmy Johnson thing. And when things don't work, by the way, so is Adam Gase is going through. He didn't score a touchdown.
That's right.
People want to know, I've heard it all week, like, well, aren't head coaches supposed to oversee the whole team and take care of everything and any drama and anything that's going on with the team to make sure the game plans? And I'm guessing they're all having those. I'm not guessing. They're all having those meetings as the head coach to see what the game plan is. Special teams, you meet. Is there anything we can do here? And Riz is saying, yeah, we can do this. But when you get shut out, or you score 12 points in a college game, or you don't score any touchdowns in a pro game,
yeah, you got to change a couple things.
Everybody says, hey, wait a second. Who's calling the plays here? It's the first thing you go to. Fair or not? Like, you know, and.
Offense is struggling.
I can hear the coaches going, yeah, yep. I've been calling the same plays that have worked with other teams, and it's not working with this group. But
it's the 10th game of the season, and you don't have a starting quarterback, basically.
Correct.
Like, you can't name a guy the starter for the rest of the season. This is game 10.
No, this shouldn't be going on.
No.
This wasn't the game plan for Mark Richt.
No.
Like, why not
no.
tell Nikosi, hey, you're starting the rest of the way. Let's see how it goes. You know, you don't have to play scared out there. You're our guy for the last three games.
Well, I think that's what he's. Well, he
no, don't say
the last
that.
Three games.
Yeah,
he'd get pulled after the first drive. If they go three and out and they start flat, he'd get pulled right away. Like, who knows what they're going to do? But why not name the guy the starter? Be like, look, we're going to see what this guy has. You know, let's go with him.
I'm going to give Mark Richt the benefit of the doubt that he's not going to pull a 19-year-old quarterback after one drive. That
he's
could
already
be,
done it.
When did he get pulled in that Virginia game?
That could be damage.
It was after the first drive.
Yeah.
That's a bad move if he does.
Yeah.
Like,
he's
after
done
a
it.
While,
he's
start,
done it.
You start looking over your shoulder and you're worrying about, well, I went three and out. Am I coming back in? And
you don't think he's going to be doing
you
that
you look
now?
Over and Malik's over there throwing the ball on the sideline.
Yeah, warming up.
And you're going back and forth. Then you lose both guys. It's just no good. I mean, their confidence got to be a little shaken already that they're not better than they are outside of whatever they get in their running game. They're getting nothing at all in the passing game.
It's sad to see that because in the beginning of the season, we saw so much hype around those wide receivers.
You know, it actually, the way it started, I figured we got to go to break here and we'll talk more about it. But I figured if Rozier didn't get off to a good start against LSU, that this was going to open the Nikosi Perry stuff. And it did. And then
he
teased
us. Wasn't on that trip.
He teased, well, yeah, he went on the first trip, but he was obviously waiting in a situation. He had a chance to take it. And has gone backwards, so we'll see what happens there. Anyway, we got Larry Bluestein. We're going to jump back to a little high school playoff football coming up. There were some games last night. Most of them are tonight. We'll talk to Blue and see if we got any big upsets coming up in just a couple of minutes. And Andre Branch, Miami Dolphins defensive end, will also join us here in the 7 o'clock hour.
That's right. Playoff time. Let's jump to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Buy now and save big during the grand reopening of the all-new Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. The South Florida High School Football Report with Larry Bluestein, powered by Centene. Better is taking charge of my health and better from Sunshine Health. Blue, it's playoff time.
Playoffs.
I've got a list of games in front of me. I'm not even going through. You just need to let us know what to look for from last night and today. There's a lot going on right now.
Yeah, good morning, guys. Playoffs are here. Playoffs. could be very interesting. Last night we had two South Florida teams. Champagnat Catholic, defending 2A state champions, barely stayed alive. They beat Miami Christian 2019, so they moved to the second round. And Palmetto, which is a team that is 10-1. I mean, you know, their only loss came earlier this year to South Ridge, and they took up Part Belen 45-7. So that kind of like set. Now, the winner of that game, Palmetto, will play off against either Christopher Columbus or Coral Gables, which is one of the games this evening. A lot of games this evening. First round matchups are usually, you know, pretty good, not great. It's next week where you're going to have a billion choices.
Oh, man.
My choice
is
one, Carroll City Central, which is what a shame that the two best teams in the state have to play in the second round.
In the second round. Yeah, that's
crazy.
Two teams.
It's the 6A state championship next week. It really is. I mean, there's nobody who would come within 21 points of those guys in 6A.
Yeah. Hey.
I know I get in trouble for that every week, Joe. I know.
I can hear two or three calls going, there he goes again on Carroll City.
Yeah,
the junior college would be a top junior college team.
Yeah, they would. But you know what? You got to be real. And watching Carroll City and Central play, and I mean, everybody's watched them or heard about them. They're at just two different levels. But I'll tell you a team that I think could pull a really big surprise. They're the defending 6A state champion, Northwestern. They open up against Daytona Mainland tonight in Daytona, which is usually a tough game. But Northwestern still got kids. I mean, they're not void of talent. I mean, they're loaded up. And if they win, they'll play one of the heritage teams from up in Palm Bay, and they can make it to the third round. I mean, really, when you think about it, and the bad part of it is one of Central or Carroll City won't, and that's the way things play out. But it is really a good first round. We remember last year when Miramar came off the win against St. Thomas, probably the most dominating performance any team has had against St. Thomas in years.
They left it all there.
Yeah, they did, and they were the number one seed and everything, and then they lost. So they're going to keep that in mind tonight when they're the number eight seed and they're going to the number one seed Deerfield. You know, usually when you think to yourself, well, that shouldn't be much of a matchup, but Miramar knows better because last year when Park Vista came in and beat them in a game that they should have never lost, I think it's pretty intriguing. That's one of the first round matchups. Piper and Plantation, they played in a kickoff classic. Plantation barely beat them by 3-4 points, so that's another good first round. It's those 4 and 5 matchups because remember, all district champions, no matter what their record are 1 through 4. So that means there's a 5 seed out there who had a much better record, much better season. Like tonight, Miami Central's on the road at Fort Pierce Westwood. We know Westwood because obviously Khalil Mack came from there, but also that's Charles Johnson's old high school. So, but Heritage, I think Heritage has got a pretty decent road to to get back and meet Cardinal Gibbons.
All right, so help me out here. We're looking for some upsets tonight. Give me one. You kind of tease this like Miramar's got a chance to beat Deerfield Beach.
Yeah, they're not going to beat them.
What's going to happen? I got a good one at least on paper. What about South Dade and Hialeah? What do you think?
Yeah, well, that's another one of those where South Dade comes from just an amazing district with Palmetto, with South Ridge, even Killian. And then you have Hialeah, who didn't come from a great district this year. They won. Yeah, they were 9-1. South Dade's tested. They've played a much tougher schedule than most of the teams in there. So, yeah, I kind of agree with you. I mean, this is a South Dade team that's 8-2, and they've loaded up. I mean, they've played some of the tougher teams. They beat Northwestern. Remember, they beat Northwestern early in the year. So, yeah, they have the goods. So, for a 6 seed against a number 3 seed in Hialeah, I agree with you. That's one of the games that, quote-unquote, could be an upset. But although those who pick the games have already picked South Dade by 7 to 14 points. So, but I agree that that's one of the games from a seeding standpoint that would be. I know that South Miami at St. Thomas isn't going to be one of them. I mean, South Miami, great year for the Cobras, but St. Thomas, different level. I think they're looking to get back to state. They're an exceptional team. I know they'll have Palm Beach Dwyer down the road in a couple weeks, but for right now, St. Thomas is looking really, really good. I will give you a good one because Fort Lauderdale is the oldest school in Broward County, over 100 years old. This is only their second playoff appearance, and the last win that they had was in 1966. in the year that they lost to Bradenton Manatee in the state championship. So Fort Lauderdale's at Doral Academy. That's another game that could be really interesting as well. And I'll tell you another contest that has another, you know, a five seed and we had talked about American Heritage Plantation with the forfeit 9-1 at Westwood, a four seed. So you've got some pretty interesting first round games. Next week is when we say, "Wow, this could be, you know, exciting." But remember this too: in the 1, 2, 3, and 4A, the top two seeds, like University School, Chaminade, they get the bye.
Got the bye week, yeah.
Get a bye the week, and so now next week you could have some really decent matchups there. Because I told you, I just think Chaminade pretty much could print up their rings. I mean, this is a team that
Larry, you gotta let them play again. Game. We can't just get them a championship ring already.
You know what? Stranger things have happened. I mean, but I don't see them. I watched them last
week. So you think they've got the easiest road to a state championship?
By far. By far. Wow. I mean, yeah, because, I mean, they'll have to play the team that may have a pulse is Central Catholic of Clearwater, but they beat them pretty good last year. And the only team that would have stood in their way was Oxbridge, and they folded before the season. So I'm telling you right now, you've got an opportunity for a team like Chaminade to repeat, and they're stacked. They're loaded with talent. They have five guys that are committed to the University of Miami, five guys that are sticking, five guys that understand why they committed to Miami, not just because it was just convenient to do.
I didn't realize that. Chaminade, UM's got five commitments from Chaminade?
Yeah, they do.
I didn't realize it was five.
Wow.
Yeah, they do. They have three seniors, a sophomore, and a junior. And their sophomore running back, the kid Franklin, is just amazing. So, you know what? Great days are ahead for that program, Miami. And because of the fact that they have a tremendous 2019 class, people are deeming the 2020 class is falling apart. It's not really. I mean, and I agree with Mike Jackson from Miami. I mean, it's better to have known about these guys who want to quit after a three-game losing streak and they're not associated with the team, rather than when they are next year and they're quitting after three games.
Yep.
So I think that's a great point to make. But tonight, Palm Beach Lakes at MacArthur. MacArthur's had a magical season, lost their final game. I think that's a pretty good game. And West Broward going up to Dwyer. If you remember last year, Doral Academy upset Dwyer. West Broward has a really good team, has done a tremendous job. They were district champions. And Carroll City and Norlin. How would you like to be Norlin again, going in? But listen, they're going to play hard, but Carroll City is the ace.
That's a different deal. Yep.
Yeah, it is. But
that's a different speed, man, at 3 in the morning right there on 95. That's just a whole different speed right there, fast lane, man.
And I will say, Hurley Brown, former UM guy, he brings his Merritt Island team to Cardinal Gibbons. It'll be a nice couple-hour ride, but they're not winning that game. Gibbons is ready.
Hey, Blue, before I let you go, Columbus, after the forfeit, they end up going undefeated.
Yeah.
How good are they? How good is Columbus at this point?
Well, they'll have a test next week if they, considering if they beat Carl Gables, which is a team that's on the rise again. But if they win, they'll have Palmetto, and that's going to be a really challenging game for them. Good defense, a lot of speed, a team that is can be. But yes, I think Columbus has the goods. They have the coaching, they have the skilled kids, they have a tremendous line, both sides of the line of scrimmage. It would not surprise me to see them maybe go up against Deerfield for the right to go to state.
Where are you going tonight, Blue? Because I know you don't go to second class.
There's too many games for him to go.
No, but he's always got a good feel. I'm hoping the Dolphins High School Football Fridays will get together. Larry Blue's team, we can get on his schedule next year.
Tonight? Are you guys still doing it? Or?
No, we're done. We're done. It's playoffs.
Okay. I was going to say they wouldn't have put you at like a game like St. Thomas in South Miami.
They might have. I mean, we'll never know.
So
where do you go tonight?
Well, it's between Palm Beach Lakes and MacArthur, and maybe going up to see Hurley Brown's team. I don't think that's going to be I just think Cardinal Gibbons is so focused. They beat Heritage already, so obviously they know that. But I think maybe I may end up at MacArthur and Palm Beach Lakes, a game where MacArthur's only lost once. Palm Beach Lakes has a tremendous football team. Because the first round's kind of either that or South Aiden Hialeah. Those were the two games that kind of jumped out at me at the beginning. But you also have West Western's at Atlantic, defending state runner-up, Delray Atlantic. Western, remember last year in the first round, they beat Deerfield. So when you get into the playoffs, it's all about not making mistakes.
Don't turn it over three, four times. That's right.
Joe, I mean, in playoff football, it's a whole different atmosphere. Whether you want to admit it or not, when you get out on that field, you know, you're looking at referees that you've never seen. Like last night, I was out down at the Palmetto game, and here they have Broward County referees, which they don't see. So it's a whole different atmosphere. You know, it's a playoff atmosphere. You win, and you continue next week. You don't, and, you know, you put shoulder pads to the right, helmets to the left, and that's the way it is.
Let's just make sure the officials, no matter what county they're coming from, they're all fair. No home cooking, man. I mean, come on.
No. And, you know, I mean, and tonight Gulliver Prep is at Monsignor Pace. Joe Zacchio retiring after a great career at Monsignor Pace.
Good man.
He's done a tremendous job. So if they should lose tonight to Gulliver, who's had a really good season, that's exciting. Miami Westminster Christian back in the fold. They finished 9-1. Ed Holly did an awesome job. They're playing Palmer. So the small school football, as you know, because if you look at rosters around the country, South Florida is well represented from every level at 8A all the way down to 1A. So I'm excited. Watch Northwestern against Daytona Mainland this week.
All right, that's where you're going. All right, we're going to follow that and see how you do on that one.
Yep, that could be a real exciting game and put Northwestern in a position, because you don't want to be defending 6A state champions and check out in the first round. You know, that's just not how the plan goes.
Blue, did you just say you're excited? Because I don't believe
it. Jeez, Blue, you got every game in somehow. Blue, thank you, man. We got to let you run. We got Andre Branch going to join us in a few minutes. Have a great weekend.
You too, guys. Thanks.
South Florida High School Football Report with Larry Bluestein, powered by Centene. Better is taking charge of my health, and better from Sunshine Health. That was Larry Bluestein, the one, the man, the myth, the power, the legend, Larry Bluestein.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
All right, let's head out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Big game this weekend, Dolphins and Green Bay. Let's talk to Andre Branch, Miami Dolphins defensive end. Good morning, Andre. How are you, buddy?
Good morning. How you doing?
Andre, we're doing good, man. The question is, how are you feeling, first of all? Are you back close to 100% with your knee? You feeling pretty good now?
Yeah, I feel pretty good, man. It feels good to be back to being able to be myself again. And, you know, we're ready to get going on Sunday.
All right, Andre, I got to ask you the other one. We got a lot of stuff that we want to get to. So you guys are playing this unbelievable game last week. 4 sacks, 4 picks, shut them down, keep them out of the end zone. Were you even aware when you're going in on your rotations and you're playing and getting after the Jets about the Rashad Jones thing? Is everybody aware of it or not?
Nah, not really. You know, we focus on play in and play out, and you kind of, for us, it's just been a next man up mentality the entire season. So we just keep sticking to that and keep sticking to the script and let the chips fall where they may.
Yeah, I was always wondering, I was wondering if you were in the huddle and went, hey, I'm just looking around. Where the hell's Rashad? Hey, where's our man Rashad?
Nah, that never happened, you know. Found out about it after the game was over, so that's kind
wow.
of
all right.
Thing.
Andre, is there anything worse than having to deal with the last couple of days of all the questions being about this and not about Green Bay, or anyone coming up to you and just asking you, well, have you spoke to Coach Burke? Have you talked to Rashad? You're a vet in the locker room. Is there anything worse than that, preparing for a game on Sunday?
Nah, because I'm focusing on Aaron Rodgers. I let them focus on Rashad, and I'm going to focus on stopping Aaron Rodgers.
Let's talk about Aaron Rodgers for just a second. That's a different cat, man. Throws it sideways, throws it with his feet, going the wrong way, and drops it in with real good coverage. So what's the game plan? And, oh, by the way, he can run. How do you treat it, and how do you go about attacking Aaron Rodgers in a passing game?
I mean, we're not stupid. We know exactly who he is, just like the rest of the world. He's one of the best to ever do it. So for us is make sure we work as one, work as a unit, work as a team, and continue to chip away at him throughout all 4 quarters.
What's the most important thing for you and the defense to stop going into this game, outside of Aaron throwing for 400 yards or something like that, that you as a defensive lineman, outside of hitting him, can't really stop? But what's the most important thing for you when it comes down to preparing for Aaron?
Have eyes on him at all time. Like you said, he can run. You know, he has one of the best arms in the NFL, but not enough people talk about his ability to escape and create time for his receiver. So for us, is the rush is a unit, and always have rusher's eyes on him. So he wants to step up. If you get out of your lane, he's going to step up in that lane and create time for his receivers or take off and run.
Andre, this has been a strange 5-4 season because it's either the offense plays well or the defense plays well. I think you'd agree. We really haven't seen it all played together yet for the perfect game. Do you agree with that as you look back at the first 9 games?
I think you. I can say that. I can say that about the losses we've had and the wins we've had. You know, we haven't played together as a unit, but at the end of the day, we still got a lot more football to be played, and we know what we're capable of in our locker room, and we just got to keep moving forward and keep getting better each and every day.
Andre, for you, anything worse or anything more frustrating than having to deal with the injury and still want to get out there and play on the field and give your best, or if you can't give your best, it's just the frustration that comes with that?
I mean, it's tough. You know, it's a game of football. It happens, and we've had a lot of injuries this year. So for me, it's be positive about it. You know, last year I was very negative about it because I wasn't able to be myself. But when it happened to me, I kind of laughed. And, like, when it happened to me this year, I laughed, and I was just like, all right, I'm going to attack this thing head on and get back to playing with my brothers. So that's what I did, and I'm back now.
Andre, the Finns' defensive end numbers, you've seen it. You're aware of it. They're down for all the veteran defensive ends for the number that everybody looks at, the sack. How do you look at that? Is it more we're getting there, we're just not finishing, we got to be better one-on-one? How do you look at it as you look back at the first 9 games at that position?
I look at it as our DBs are leading the NFL in takeaways. So for us, they work hand-in-hand. You know, if we're getting there and the quarterback's throwing it away as fast as possible so he doesn't get hit,
right,
then they're making them pay. You know, everybody gets caught up in sack numbers, which
sacks are sexy. Course, yeah, the old sack is sexy. Yep.
You know? But if you pressure someone into a takeaway, then I'm okay with it, man. I'm not a big statistical guy, you know. But for us, we know what we have in our room. We know exactly what we can do, and yeah, we would love to have the big numbers, but if we say we have big numbers and we haven't won a game, you know, that's not cool to me. So so if our DBs are playing well and we're winning, I don't mind it at all.
Hey, Andre, I wanted to ask you, you've been around the game and study it and all that stuff. Who's the most natural pass rusher you've ever seen, either growing up or watched on tape, whether it's a 250-pound linebacker or an almost 300-pound guy? Who's it been?
Best natural pass rusher.
Where you just look and go, damn, that guy's got it all, man. The perfect body, the speed, the strength, the moves.
Oh, I think of all time, I mean, it's tough for you not to say Bruce Smith. He has 200 sacks.
Good answer. Yeah, good answer.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course, there's some people out here like Vaughn can run on his knees, you know. and Derek Thomas had 7 sacks in a game.
Right.
Like, and who knows, if he didn't pass away, the sky would have been the
That's
limit
right.
for him.
Right.
But at the end of the day, Bruce Smith is the leading sacker in the NFL history. So I can't take it away from him. He played for 20 years. I can't even think about it. 20 years at defensive end?
That's like, a long time.
Like, yeah. Yeah, like that means you were averaging 10 sacks a year.
Yeah, wow.
Okay, that's ridiculous.
That's like, crazy.
Like, so I'm going to say, like, Reggie White was great. Julius Peppers is still sacking people. I watched him last night. But Bruce Smith is the best. Like, it's tough for you to say anyone else. Yeah, not be able to bend or as fast as everybody, but he got to the quarterback 200 times.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Andre, with that all said and all those great players, you got a freak on the outside also in Cam Wake. Where does he compare with all these guys when you see him prepare and you see him play on Sundays?
Hall of Fame. That's all I'm going to say, Hall of Fame.
Wow.
And I'm very excited. I'm very excited to go see him get a gold jacket.
Wow, that's great, man, Andre. I hope you're right. Hey, yep. Andre, before we let you run, not everything's on the field. How's the old-fashioned business going for you, man, the off season?
Say that one more time.
How you doing in the fashion business in the off season? You still doing it?
Oh, man, you know how that goes. That comes natural to me, man. I'm doing all of that.
I think Joe wants to get involved. I think that's what's happening here.
I just need some new clothes, Andre. I figure they fit you. I'm okay. If you got them for fat old guys, I'm in great shape.
Whenever you need some help, man, I'm here to help you, bro.
He needs help. We all need help.
I'm here for it. Y'all just look. Go out shopping.
All right. Andre, good luck this week, man. Thanks for coming on this morning. We appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, man. Thank y'all for having me.
Andre Branch, defensive end with the Miami Dolphins. One of the leaders on the team. Positive dude. We just got to put it all together, man.
That's it.
How about those guys? Some of those. I knew that was going to be the case. A lot of those guys. You know how you go in your own groups? You got no idea. You're so zoned in.
You don't
look around unless somebody in the huddle goes, have you noticed it, right?
No, and that probably didn't come up. No one said that.
Because you're zoned in on who you're playing against. You're
worried about the next play, not worried about who's sitting in that huddle with you.
It is amazing, though. Then you come in after and they go, hey, do you realize
Rashad played 10 plays?
Rashad didn't play but a few plays.
Yeah.
Is he okay? He looks a little salty. He just left.
Yeah, he's pissed off. Doesn't look hurt.
Yeah.
All right, we're all cancer fighters, folks. In just 8 years, the Dolphins Cancer Challenge has raised, get this, $27.5 million for cancer research at the Sylvester Comprehensive Cancer Center, near and dear to my heart. Join us on April 6th as thousands of people walk. They're going to ride. They're going to volunteer across South Florida to raise critical funds for cancer research. Registration for this year's event is open now. Visit DolphinsCancerChallenge.com. That's DolphinsCancerChallenge.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.